vena mola, 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 da in dall'anda si sagite a scene. Rumini, 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 oi Rumini, che vado Rumini, 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 venen per non calando, si svivena, mola, mola, l'anda si sagite a scene.
Hello, I'm Adrian Iosifescu, your host of the History of Romanian Jews podcast, and today we have episode 13, actually the last episode of the podcast. Today we will discuss the contributions of Romanian Jews to the Romanian cultural avant-garde. The first cultural avant-garde I would like to tackle is Dadaism. In the years before the World War I, Europe appeared to be losing its hold on reality. Einstein's universe seems like science fiction, Freud's theories put reason in the grip of the unconscious, and Marx's communism aimed to turn society upside down. The arts were also coming unglued. Schoenberg's music was atonal, Mallarmé's poems scrambled syntax and scattered words across the page, and Picasso's cubism made a hash of human anatomy. And even more radical ideas were afoot. Anarchists and nihilists inhibited the political fringe, and a new breed of artists was starting to attack the very concept of art itself. In Paris, after trying his hand at Impressionism and Cubism, Marcel Duchamp rejected all painting because it was made for the eye and not for the mind. Dada's origins could be traced to the Great War, as the First World War was called, which left 10 million people dead and some 20 million wounded. For many intellectuals, war produced a collapse of confidence in the rhetoric, if not the principles, of the culture of rationality that had prevailed in Europe since the Enlightenment. Dada embraced and parodied that confusion. Dada wished to replace the logical nonsense of the men of today with an illogical nonsense, wrote Gabriel Buffet Picabia, whose artist husband, Francis Picabia, once tacked a stuffed monkey to a board and called it a portrait of Cézanne. The new irrational art movement was started in Zurich in 1916 at Cabaret Voltaire by three young artists from Romania, Tristan Tzara, Marcel Gianco, and Arthur Segal, and the pair of Hugo Ball and Emily Hennings, and would be named Dada. It got its name from either Yes Yes in Romanian or Rocking Horse in French. For Germans, the word is a sign of foolish naivete, joy of procreation, and preoccupation with a baby carriage. Tzara quickly used it on posters, put out the first Dada journal, and wrote one of the first of many Dada manifestos, few of which, appropriately enough, made much sense. Tristan Tzara described its nightly shows as explosions of elective imbecility. Total pandemonium, wrote Hans Arp, a young Alsatian sculptor in Zurich, of the goings-on at the gaudy, motley, overcrowded Cabaret Voltaire. Tzara is wiggling his behind like the belly of an Oriental dancer. Gianco is playing an invisible violin and bowing and scrapping. Madame Hennings, with a Madonna face, is doing the splits. And Hasselbeck is banging away nonstop on the great drum with Ball accompanying him on the piano, pale as a Chucky ghost. Dada may have been influenced by the absurdist French playwright Alfred Jarry, whose 1895 farce Ubo Roi, King Ubu, introduced pataphysics, the science of imaginary solutions. It was a kind of science that Dada applauded. Eric Satie, an avant-garde composer who collaborated with Picasso on stage productions and took part in Dada Suarez, claimed that his sound collages, an orchestral suite with passages for piano and siren, for example, were dominated by scientific thought. It was not only the war, but the impact of modern media and the emerging industrial age of science and technology that provoked the Dada artists. As Arp once complained, today's representative of man is only a tiny button on a giant, senseless machine. The Dada smoked the dehumanization with elaborate pseudo-diagrams, chock-a-blocks with gears, pulleys, dials, wheels, levers, pistons, and clockworks that explain nothing. The typographer's symbol of a pointing hand appeared frequently in Dada's art and became an emblem for the movement, making a pointless gesture. Arp created abstract compositions from cutout paper shapes, which he dropped randomly onto a background and glued down where they fell. He argued for this kind of chance abstraction as a way to rid art of any subjectivity. Duchamp found a different way to make his art impersonal, drawings like a mechanical engineer rather than an artist. He preferred mechanical drawing, he said, because it's outside all pictorial convention. When Dadaists did choose to represent the human form, it was often mutilated or made to look manufactured or mechanical. The multitude of severely crippled veterans and the growth of the prosthetics industry struck contemporaries as creating a race of half-mechanical men. The absurdist outlook spread like a pandemic. Zara called Dada a virgin microbe, and there were outbreaks from Berlin to Paris, New York, and even Tokyo. And for all its zaniness, the movement would prove to be one of the most influential in modern art, foreshadowing abstract and conceptual art, performance art, op, pop, and installation art. Duchamp's irreverence towards science was shared by two of his New York companions, Picabia and the young American photographer Man Ray. Picabia could draw with the precision of a commercial artist, making his nonsensical diagrams seem particularly convincing. Picabia covered canvases with disorienting stripes and concentric circles, an early form of optical experimentation in modern painting. Man Ray, whose photographs documented Duchamp's optical machines, put his own stamp on photography by manipulating images in the dark room to create illusions on film. Duchamp created one of the best-known Dadaist pieces and probably one of the most famous art pieces in the history of art, The Fountain. The Fountain consists of a signed piece of a regular white porcelain urinal seen in restrooms all over the world. Duchamp's main goal was to show that the artist has intellectual power to choose what object becomes art. The Berlin Dada Group is also famous for coming up with a new art form known as the photomontage. Photomontages represented a new version of collage where media images from newspapers and magazines were cut out to create a work of art with a political message. In Cologne in 1920, German artist Mark Ernst and a band of local Dadas excluded from a museum exhibition organized their own Dada Early Spring in the courtyard of a pub. Out past the men's room, a girl wearing a communion dress recited lewd poetry, thus assaulting both the sanctity of high art and of religion. In the courtyard, viewers were encouraged to destroy an Ernst sculpture to which he attached a hatchet. Daras Lashuroa was sounded in Paris in the early 1920s when Zara, Ernst, Duchamp and other Dada pioneers took part in a series of exhibitions of provocative art, nude performances, rowdy stage productions and incompressible manifestos. But the movement was falling apart. The French critic and poet André Breton issued his own Dada manifestos but fell to feuding with Zara as Picabia, fed up with all the infighting, fled the scene. By the early 1920s, Breton was already hatching the next great avant-garde idea, surrealism. But Dada, which wasn't quite dead yet, would soon leap from the grave. Arp's abstractions, Sweater's constructions, Picabia's targets and stripes, and Duchamp ready-made were soon turning up in the work of major 20th century artists and art movements. From Stuart Davis' abstractions to Andy Warhol's pop art, from Jasper Jones' targets and flags to Robert Rauschenberg's collages and combines, almost anywhere you look in modern and contemporary art, Dada did it first. Some of the many artists involved in the Dada movement were Hans Arp, Louis Aragon, Otto Dix, Marcel Duchamp, Paul Éluard, Max Ernst, George Gross, Richard Husselbeck, Man Ray, L. Lisinski, Francis Picabia, and Sophie Tauber. Let's discuss now the Romanian Dada founders. Tristan Tzara, or Sammy Rozenstock, was born in the town of Moinești, not far from Iași, in April 1896. Initially, the adolescent Tzara became interested in symbolism and co-founded the magazine Simbolul, the symbol, with Ion Vina, with whom he also wrote experimental poetry, and the painter Marcel Janco. Symbolism seek to represent absolute truth symbolically through language and metaphorical images, mainly as a reaction against naturalism and realism. During the First World War, after briefly collaborating with Vina on the magazine Chemarea, The Call, he joined Janco in Switzerland. There, Tzara's participation in the shows at Cabaret Voltaire, as well as his poetry and art manifestos, became a main feature of early Dadaism. His work represented Dada's nihilistic side, in contrast with the more moderate approach favored by Hugo Ball. After moving to Paris in 1919, Tzara, by then one of the presidents of Dada, joined the staff of French magazine Literature, which marked the first step in the movement evolution towards surrealism. He was involved in major polemics which led to Dada's split, defending his principles against André Breton and Francis Picabia, and in Romania against the eclectic modernism of Vina and Janco. His personal vision of art defined his Dadaist play, The Gas Heart and Handkerchiefs of Cloud. A forerunner of automatist techniques, Tzara eventually aligned himself with Breton surrealism and under its influence wrote his celebrated utopian poem, The Approximate Man. During the final part of his career, Tzara combined his humanistic and anti-fascist perspective with a communist vision, joining the Republicans in the Spanish Civil War and the French Resistance during the Second World War. He eventually served a term in the French National Assembly. Having spoken in favor of liberalization in the People's Republic of Hungary just before the Revolution of 1956, he distanced himself from the French Communist Party, of which he was by then a member. In 1960, he was among the intellectuals who protested against French actions in the Algerian War. Tzara was an avant-garde poet, essayist, performance artist, journalist, playwright, literary and art critic, composer, and film director. He is known best for being one of the founders and the central figure of the anti-establishment Dada artistic movement. The second main character as part of the Romanian contribution to the Dada movement was Marcel Janco, or Marcel Herman Iancu, born in 1895 in Bucharest. As a teenager, in 1912, he was attracted to the symbolist circles and began contributing to Simbolul, the magazine that we mentioned, with Tzara and Vinea, while in parallel took painting lessons with the Jewish artist Iosif Ezer, one of the greatest Romanian painters of the first half of the 20th century. In 1916, he associated with Tristan Tzara at Cabaret Voltaire as one of the initiators of the Dada. Here, he made good friends with Hans Arp, with whom he arranged an exhibition of masks and colored reliefs in 1919, the biggest Dada soiree ever. In 1922, he returned to Bucharest, where he contributed to the magazine Contemporanu, where he became good friends with Maxi, the other painter we're going to talk about. In Bucharest, he earned a reputation as an architect after designing several apartment houses in a style between Cubism and Alter Gropius and Le Corbusier functional manner. Many of these apartment buildings still exist in Bucharest, although no properly maintained. The episode notes present a list of these buildings. He had many one-man shows in Bucharest and abroad. He painted, illustrated books, designed theater sets, wrote art reviews and theoretical essays. In 1941, Janco settled in then Palestine and founded the famous artist community of Ein Hod. His house in Ein Hod is now a small museum. The third member of the Dada Romanian gang was Arthur Sigal, by his name Aron Sigalu, born in Iasi in June 1875, in a fairly wealthy Jewish family, spending most of his childhood in Botoșani, a town known for its rich cultural life. It is hardly a coincidence the Romanian national poet Mihai Eminescu, the composer George Ionescu, and the historian Nicolae Iorga were all born in or in the vicinity of Botoșan. Just like Tzara, Sigal was forced to leave Romania due to a scandal, and at 17 he goes to Berlin, where he studies at the Academy of Fine Arts, then to Paris and to Munich, where he matures as an international artist. He has his first one-man show in Bucharest in 1910. In 1916, he joined the Dada group and contributes to the early shows at Cabaret Voltaire. In 1918, he moves back to Berlin and opens a school of painting. The 1924 Bucharest exhibition is his last association with the artistic avant-garde. He is attracted by a new movement, the New Objectivism, which advocates the return to faithful rendition of reality. He took part in many Jewish art shows, such as Jewish Artists of Our Time in Zurich in 1929 and the Prague Exhibition of Jewish Artists in 1930. Let's talk now about the second major cultural wave, Surrealism. Surrealism was one of the most extraordinary artistic and intellectual movements of the 20th century. It was a movement distinguished by enormous breadth and richness, and it embraced not only art and literature, but also psychoanalysis, philosophy, politics. The Surrealists aimed to liberate the human imagination, and their vision expressed in the works of some of the greatest artists and writers of the 20th century has had a major influence on modern life. One of the central themes of the movement was the idea that man is a creature who is driven by desire, which to the surrealists was the authentic voice of the inner self, a path to self-discovery. The many surrealist expressions in art, literature, etc., were inspired by this vision of a man as desirous of love, poetry, and liberty. This avant-garde movement, born in the late 20s in France, under the strict guidance of André Breton, who was also called the Pope of Surrealism, got rapidly internationalized. For Breton, desire was integral to life itself, although in the early years of the movement, the dominant theme was dream, revolution, poetry, and above all, love, with desire implicit in all this. Here is a who's who list of artists in no particular order that took part in the Surrealist movement in literature, art, and film. Jean Arp, Louis Bourgeois, Brasset, Yves Tanguy, Louis Brunel, Salvatore Dalí, Giorgio de Chirico, Paul Delvaux, Marx Ernst, Marcel Duchamp, Albert Giacometti, Achille Gorky, Frida Kahlo, René Magritte, Man Ray, Juan Miró, Roberto Matta, Henry Moore, Francis Picabia, Louis Aragon, Roland Penrose, Georges Bataille, René Cher, Paul Éluard, Robert Desnos, and so on. Surrealism was much influenced by Dadaism and by the poet Tristan Tzara we mentioned before, and who later joined the future French surrealists Breton and Aragon in 1919 and wrote surrealist poetry after 1929. The most famous example was his poem L'Homme Approximatif, The Approximate Man, in 1931. Meanwhile, Tzara remained in touch with the Romanian avant-garde, which considered him one of his major models. In Romania, Surrealism began to flourish after 1928, when the first Surrealist group started collaborating to the magazine Unu, or One in English, directed by the poet Sasha Pana. Among the most important contributors were the Jewish poets Ilarie Voronka, Stefan Roll, Gerasim Luca, the Jewish painters Victor Brauner, Jacques Herold, Max Hermann Maxi, and Jules Perrahim. Let us notice that Unu, or One, was not surrealist, but was defined of literary avant-garde, and although its director was in permanent contact with Breton and other French surrealists, whom he translated into Romanian and considered as models to a certain extent, his intentions was not to imitate them, but to create an independent and original movement with a general stylistic framework of the international surrealism. Otherwise, unlike Breton, Sasha Pana had no theoretical ambition, no intention to impose a doctrine in an authoritarian manner. He only tried to set a typical vanguard modus vivendi, which meant total emancipation of the spirit from all social constraints. Naturally, this modus vivendi also applied to the observance of a severe moral code that excluded any compromise with the ethics and values of the bourgeois society. This is how one can explain the excommunications of those who are found guilty of having aspired to official consecration to literary glory, a famous case being the exclusion of the poet Ilarie Voronka from the Romanian Surrealist group in 1931. The reason of this radical gesture was, as the poet Stefan Roll, by his name Gheorghe Dinu, pointed out in an article, the fact that Voronka had published the last treasure of his song, the volume Incantations, for 40 lei at a bloated and mercenary National Culture publishing house, an inexcusable mistake to which the endeavors made by the poet to be accepted in the society of Romanian writers were added. Of course, the model of this exclusion were the famous excommunications dictated by Breton, such as the case of Salvatore Dalí nicknamed with the ironical anagram Avida Dollars. Another important Surrealist magazine was Alge, which appeared in two series in 1930 and 1933, with the contribution of the Jewish poets Gerasim Luka, Paul Paun, Aurelio Baranga, Sesto Pals, and the painter Jules Perrahim. Neither this publication was called Surrealist, but a review of modern art, although the manner of the poems published here had numerous common points with Surrealism, such as incongruous associations, the shocking images, the rebellious spirit meant to vex the bourgeois, and also the so-called pure psychic automatism, which was searched in the speech of the retarded children, considered to be visionary. Perhaps the most gifted poet of this first Surrealist generation was Ilarie Voronka, by his name Edward Marcus, who wrote visual poetry based exclusively on luxuriant images aggregated at random, also called for this reason imagist poetry. Voronka had invented in 1924, together with the painter Victor Brauner, the so-called painting poetry, a mixture between poetry and painting, following the pattern of the Dadaist collage. His poetic images are born one from another, without premeditation, almost automatically, depending exclusively on the poet's momentary state of mind. In 1933, Voronka decided to emigrate to France, following Brauner and Harold, who had left for Paris in 1930. Voronka, like Victor Brauner, Jacques Harold, Gerasim Luka, Paul Paun, Dolphy Trost, and others, was a Jew when the political context in Romania was not favorable to the Jews at all. In France, Voronka continued to write in French and became quite famous. During the war, he was a member of the French Resistance, but soon after the war, in 1946, troubled by a sentimental crisis, he committed suicide after a short trip to Romania. Ironically, at that time, he was writing a handbook of perfect happiness. Among the Surrealist painters, the case of Victor Brauner is extraordinary. He started by displaying his first works at the 1924 International Exhibit at the Contemporaneo, and then again in 1929 and 1930. He contributed to the first Romanian Surrealist exhibit in 1935. He was also an energetic journalist running the 75 HP Avant-Garde magazine and contributing to UNU, Integral, and Point. After he had been brought into Paris Surrealist circle by his friends Giacometti and Tanguy in 1933, André Breton thought he recognized in Brauner the Surrealist painter he had been expecting since the Second Manifesto of Surrealism, and he highly praised the works exhibited by Brauner at the Galerie Pierre in 1934. The strangest thing about Victor Brauner is the fact that before losing an eye in an accident in 1938, he had been obsessed in his creations by the mutilation of the eyes, so that he had painted several figures with horns coming out of their eyes or with eyes in their hands. See, for example, The Last Journey in 1937, and even a self-portrait with a plucked eye, the famous portrait painted in 1931. Another interesting detail of this story is the fact that in several paintings on this subject, such as Mediterranean Landscape or Magic of the Seashore, eye mutilation is associated with the letter D, which is the initial letter of Dominguez, the name of the person who accidentally plucked out Brauner's eye during a Surrealist party. As a matter of fact, Oscar Dominguez was also a very gifted Surrealist painter of Spanish origin. It seems that Brauner has anticipated his accidents many years before it happened, so that he was considered a visionary who transmitted mediumistic messages in his creations, a perfect example of a Surrealist artist. Like Victor Brauner, the Jewish painter Jacques Harold was born in 1910 in the same Moldovan town, Piatra Neamț, and arrived in Paris in 1930. He entered the group of André Breton in 1934, but he developed his artistic career independently. He also shared with Brauner the same preoccupation with magic and occultism, so that his creation seems to hide a dark secret which can be revealed only by esoteric practices. His first personal exhibition was in Paris in 1947 and was followed by another 30 exhibits all over the world, and his name became famous in the context of international surrealism. Another interesting figure of the Jewish-Romanian avant-garde is Jean David, born in 1908 in Bucharest. He contributed drawings to the avant-garde UNU and Alger magazines. His Bucharest debut dates to 1929, when he contributed to the official Black and White Salon. Two one-man shows followed in 1937 and 1938. Like most avant-garde painters, he illustrated books and contributed to magazines like UNU. In 1942, he left Romania in a boat with 12 other Jews, including Theodor Brauner, the brother of Victor Brauner. After being captured by British authorities and deported to Cyprus, he managed to reach Palestine in 1944. Following his release in 1944, he was drafted in the British Brigade, where he served as a painter until 1946. When the War of Independence broke out in Israel, he was drafted into the Israeli Navy. In 1949, he went to live in Jerusalem, where he was active in developing ceramic arts, works in copper, and artistic wall hangings under the auspices of the Ministry of Trade and Industry. In 1950, together with Marcel Janko, he founded in Israel the artist village known as Ein Hod. He also gained reputation as a muralist and especially as a designer, having designed numerous posters and other works for the El Al Air Company. Unlike most other important figures of the Romanian avant-garde, the Jewish painter Max Herman Maxi never left Romania. He was born in 1895 in Brăila, and his family moved to Bucharest in 1901, where he attended school. His first exhibit of his paintings and drawings in Iași was followed by two one-man shows in Bucharest. In 1923, he started collaborating at the literary avant-garde magazine Contemporanu and is the organizer of the first Contemporanu International exhibit, which drew renowned foreign artists like Paul Klee, Hans Arp, Kurt Schwarzer, Hans Richter, as well as Romanians like Marcel Janko, Brâncusi, Arthur Segal, Victor Brauner. In 1925, he started another publication, Integral, with Ilarie Voronca, Ion Călugăru, Bruna Fox, and Benjamin Fontaine. He illustrated books by Sasha Pană, Ilarie Voronca, Ion Călugăru, Tudor Arghezi, designed stage sets for the Jewish Barashom Theatre, and taught at Jewish Art School. In 1949, he was appointed director of the Bucharest Museum of Art. 1933 was a crucial point in the evolution of the Romanian avant-garde, as the political context became increasingly hostile due to the rapid ascent of the extreme right. All surrealist magazines ceased to appear, and their contributors were those forced to adopt a militant position in their articles published in the communist magazines. Nevertheless, the political engagement of almost all Romanian surrealists must be viewed as closely related to the surrealist project of radically changing the way of life in a future society. Breton himself sustained in 1935 in his Position Politique du Surrealisme that the authentic art of the present has to be closely related to the social revolutionary activity, as its goal had to be the ruin and destruction of the capitalist society and the propagandistic art was perfectly justified in a period of crisis. Following the example of their French fellows, the Romanian Surrealists openly sustained the proletarian revolution, and many of them even joined the Communist Party in a moment when its activity has been declared officially illegal. Socially frustrated because of class and racial discriminations, most of them being of Jewish origin, their political option was probably perfectly justified at that moment, as the idea of egalitarian society must have been, from their point of view, extremely seductive. In the articles published during the 1940s in the left-wing magazines like Viața Imediată, The Immediate Life, Cuvântul Liber, The Free Word, Tânăra Generație, The Young Generation, Umanitatea, Humanity, Reporter, Era Nouă, The New Era, Fapta, Action, Meridian, etc., the Romanian Surrealists vehemently denounced the exploitation of the proletariat, the officially encouraged anti-Semitism, the fascist danger, and the increasingly threatening specter of the war, meanwhile sustaining the idea of an engaged or revolutionary literature. From this project emerged a series of specific genres, such as the proletarian poetry or the proletarian novel and the reportage poem, but one may say that the idea of revolution animated the majority of literary creations published at that time by Gerasim Luca, Paul Păun, Gelu Naum, Virgil Teodorescu, Stefan Rol. Therefore, no wonder that the avant-garde was perceived from the very beginning as a dangerous enemy situated, according to Eugene Ionescu's definition, within the very citadel which, with the aid of occult external forces, was mightily striving to demolish. That was the reason the attacks against it were not confined to pre-war Romania, but continued under the communist regime. Gerasim Luca, Gelu Naum, Victor Brauner, Jules Perrahim, Gheorghe Dinu, Sasha Pana, and others were watched and sometimes arrested for supposedly subversive activities. The problem of the writer's political engagement was issued for the first time in a manifesto entitled The Poetry We Wish to Write, published by Gerasim Luca, Paul Păun, and Jules Perrahim in the unique number of the magazine Viața Imediată, The Immediate Life, in December 1933. In their opinion, poetry had to thoroughly reflect daily life as its condition was the opposition against oppression, in other words, the social revolt. The new poetry had to be simple and aggressive, since it was addressed to the masses whose class consciousness was trying to awake. We mentioned Gerasim Luca a bunch of times. He was born Salman Locher, also known as Costea Sar and Petre Malkovich, born in Bucharest in 1913, the son of a Jewish tailor, Burl Locher. He spoke Yiddish, Romanian, German, and French. Gerasim Luca was the theorist of the poetry, so-called proletarian poetry, in a series of articles published in 1935 in the left-wing magazine Cuvântul Liber, The Free World. In his opinion, tributary to Marxist ideology, the proletarian poetry, which was opposed to the pure poetry considered to be in the service of the dominant class, had to reflect the deep contradictions within the bourgeois society. In other words, its motto had to be the class struggle. The poems published by Gerasim Luca and Paul Păun between 1933 and 1937 were a perfect illustration of this program through their deliberate anti-aesthetism expressed by the most ostentatious prosaic style, shocking gestures, and violence of speech. The poet appears to reflect the proletarian who hates the bourgeois society. The main theme of the poems is for the class struggle, as the poem is built on the antithesis between the exploited and the exploiters. Gerasim Luka also published in 1937, in the same manner, a proletarian novel entitled Fata Morgana, or Mirage in English, whose protagonist is a communist from Moldova who performs conspiratorial actions under the guidance of the Communist Party, which, as we know, was officially forbidden in 1924. The stake of the book was obviously not aesthetic but political. Since it's almost unreadable, the plot is badly constructed, the action is incoherent, and the style can be considered anti-literary par excellence. Gerasim Luka left Romania in 1952 and moved to Paris through Israel. In 1994, at the age of 80, he committed suicide by jumping into Seine. Among the members of the surrealist group Alge, the case of the painter Jules Verrahim is worth discussing. Jules Verrahim was born Iuliu Blumfeld in Bucharest in 1914. Following the example of Gerasim Luka and Paul Paun, he created in the 30s many paintings and drawings with political message, aiming to criticize the monarchy and the grounds of the capitalist regime in Romania. During the war, he was forced to seek refuge in the Soviet Union, as he was in danger to be arrested and imprisoned or sent to a concentration camp as a communist Jew. In the Soviet Union, he became one of the leaders of the Romanian Communist Party in exile, and after his return to Romania in 1944, he became a fervent supporter of the communist regime and a strong proponent of socialist realism. In the 50s, he produced many works of art with propagandistic purpose. However, during the short period of liberalization started in the late 60s by Nicolae Ceaușescu, he left Romania in 1969 for France, where he rediscovered surrealism and gained international recognition as one of the most prominent figures. Another surrealist poet who initially linked his literary work with communist activities was Gelu Naum. Gelu Naum was born in Bucharest in 1915, the son of the poet Andrei Naum, who had been drafted in the First World War and died during the Battle of Mărășești, and Maria Naum, born Rosa Gluck. Together with Gerasim Luka, Paul Păun and Virgil Teodorescu, Naum published in 1935, under the guidance of the Communist Party, a magazine called Tânăra Generație, The Young Generation, which was forbidden after only two issues. The same year, he was arrested because one night he wrote communist slogans on a wall in Bucharest. In 1936, he published his first volume of poetry entitled Drumețul Incendiar, The Incendiary Traveler, which he pretended to have been inspired by Victor Brauner's paintings. The poems combine the surrealist technique of oromatic speech with a subversive political content, as the protagonist is a typical anarchist who performs absurd actions in the spirit of the Second Surrealist Manifesto. Nevertheless, one must notice that the surrealist group founded by Gerasim Luka and Gelu Naum in 1940 refused to endorse the new socialist realism imposed after 1947 as the only aesthetic formula officially accepted. And that was the reason why the group was forced to dissolve shortly after the establishment of the communist regime. Otherwise, the texts published by its members during that period, many of them in French, were entirely apolitical at a moment when not to be politically engaged was considered, from the official point of view, an inexcusable heresy. Benjamin Fondane, or Benjamin Fundoianu, was born in 1898 as Benjamin Wexler in Iași, in a well-to-do Jewish family. As a child, Benjamin spent a lot of time in the north of Moldova, Fundoia, and hence the name he chooses for himself, Fundoianu. From this rural and picturesque area, he received the inspiration for the poems that will later be published in a collection called Privelished, Landscape. As a teenage boy, Fundoianu traveled a lot and collected and delved into the local Romanian folklore of the villages And from that, he was inspired to write songs. During and after the First World War, he was active as a cultural critic, avant-garde promoter, and with his brother-in-law, manager of a theatrical troupe called Insula, the Isle. Fontaine began a second career in 1923 when he moved to Paris, affiliated with Surrealism, but strongly opposed to its communist leanings. He moved on to become a figure in Jewish existentialism and a leading disciple of Lev Shestov. His critique of political dogma, rejection of rationalism, and the expectation of a historical catastrophe were outlined in his celebrated essay on Charles Baudelaire and Arthur Rimbaud, as well as in his final works of poetry. In parallel, Fontaine also had a career in cinema. A film critic and screenwriter for Paramount Pictures, he later worked on the movie Wrapped with Dmitry Kirsanov and directed the since-lost film Tatarira in Argentina. During the Second World War, he became a prisoner of war during the fall of France, but was released and spent the occupation years in clandestinity. He was eventually found and deported to Auschwitz, where he was killed. The third cultural wave we're going to talk about is Lettrism. Lettrism is an avant-garde cultural movement established in Paris in the 1940s by Isidore Isou. In their body of work, Isou and the Lettrists have applied their theories to all arts of art and culture, most notably in poetry, film, painting, and political theory. The movement has its theoretical roots in Dada and Surrealism. Isou viewed his fellow countryman Tristan Tzara as the greatest creator and rightful leader of the Dada movement and dismissed most of the others as falsifiers. André Breton was a significant influence, but Isou was dissatisfied with what he saw as the stagnation and theoretical bankruptcy of the Surrealism as it stood in the 1940s. In French, this movement is called Lettrisme, from the French word for an alphabetical character, arising from the fact that many of their early works centers on alphabetical characters or other visual or spoken symbols. Isou developed this notion in his book La Créatique ou la Novatique. His theory is that societies develop not because of the human instinct for survival, but because of the desire to create. If creativity was the highest form of action and art was its most visible form, then humanity was in charge of history. In this way, the artist took the place of God, the first creator or artist. It was, he stated, no less than the complete reinvention of culture and what it meant to be a human being. Isou was fascinated by the popularity of alchemy during the Renaissance, and the alchemists believed that everything can be transformed. This is Lettrisme in action. It is how music becomes painting, and painting becomes film, and film becomes writing. All is endlessly mutable. Isidore Isou was born Isidore Goldstein in 1925 in Botoșan. His mother affectionately called him Isou, the Romanian Jewish form of his name, which he precociously adopted as his avant-garde nom de guerre when he moved to Bucharest while still an adolescent. His first book published in 1947, L'agrégation d'un nom et d'un messie, The Making of a Name and a Messiah, he described how he was physically attacked for being a Jew, made to work in a forced labor camp, kept trying to escape, was caught up in massacres, and all the time hears rumors of the terrible slaughter of Jews in the north of Romania. When he arrived in Paris in 1945, Isou began his career at the very height of avant-garde fashion. He was charismatic and good-looking, and he quickly gathered a pack of well-read young hooligans as followers. this new gang of lettrists was soon notorious for their punch-ups and their weird, threatening poetry, their girls and their arrogance. Isu now socialized and insulted the elite thinkers of the left bank, including André Breton, Jean Cocteau, Jean-Paul Sartre, and others. He recalled that a favorite lettrism game was to knock off the hat of the now elderly Tristan Tzara as he walked to a cafe for his morning coffee. The new snotty young heroes of the avant-garde had no time for icons. This is a self-created legend of Isu, which in the past few decades have been passing into literature and history. It was no doubt that his popularity inspired in 1955 a curious Orson Welles to interview Isu on film. In the film, Isu and another smartly dressed lettriste, Isu Chief Lieutenant Maurice Lemaître, read out a sound poem about snow to a clearly baffled Welles. Even some of Isu's most faithful followers thought that his ideas became increasingly opaque and impenetrable. The closest intimates were being told by Isu that if they studied hard enough, then the secret language of the universe would be revealed to them. Isu began to refer to himself as Dieu Isu, God Isu, and peppered his talk and writing with references to the Hermetic tradition and Jewish mysticism. Lettrisme, he insisted, was now neither art nor science. It was no less than the reinvention of all human knowledge. Eventually, many of the followers left lettrisme and followed Guy Debord, who started the Situationist movement. Under Debord's influence, the Situationists despised Isu as a mystic and therefore the enemy of real material revolution, which they thought had to happen and in fact was about to happen. After his death in 2007, Isu's reputation continued to get better all the time. A major retrospective of Isu's work was organized at Centre Pompidou, and some of his works have been shown in Tel Aviv, Bucharest, and New York. His massive archive was acquired by the Bibliothèque Kandinsky, the leading research library of modern art in Paris. Scholarly books about Isu have been issued in Stanford, Princeton, London, Cambridge, and Berlin, as well as Paris. The consensus seems to be that whatever Debord and his disciples might have said, lettrisme was, or is, the missing link between Dada, Surrealism, and Situationism. This concludes the last episode of my podcast. My many thanks to all of you who stepped with me through this brief history of the Jews in Romania. I'm hoping that many of the topics presented here would be explored in more depth and will continue to enrich the historical, social, and cultural legacy of all of us, Jews of Romanian extraction.